When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Single Tracks podcast. My name is Jeff, and today my guest is Rhett Jones. Rhett is a high school senior and a mountain biker living in the Austin, Texas area. He's the founder of Station Bike Park, a new private park that he developed on 150 acres of former ranch land northwest of town. Thanks for joining me, Rhett.
Yes, hello. Glad I'm here.
Yeah, you're coming to us from the ranch, and it sounds like you're spending a lot of time out there, currently living on the ranch, is that right?
Yeah, I live here like 3-4 days a week and live back in Austin 3-4 days a week.
Okay, cool. So how long have you been riding mountain bikes?
I've been riding only for 3.5 years, kind of when COVID started, but like June 2020, I went to Angel Fire, my first proper park. Loved it and have been riding like 6 days a week since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when you went to Angel Fire, was that just like a vacation? You're like, hey, I'm going to try mountain biking, or had you ridden before?
Yeah, it was just a normal family trip. So I decided to try mountain biking because I was watching YouTube videos on it and stuff. And then it's so fun. So I got back home, quit all my other sports, and like only rode mountain bikes, and I rode all the time.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you got obsessed. Where were you riding like when you first started out? Are there a lot of trails in Austin?
Yeah, there's still a lot of trails in Austin. So I was just riding all the local trails, you know, made it out to other parks when I could as well.
Cool. So then fast forward a couple years, 2022, I heard that you worked to get like a free public bike park built. How'd that get started? What was the idea behind that?
So I actually got the motivation from that from my school. I go to a school called Alpha, and every kid there does a masterpiece, which is a really ambitious project you do over your 4 years of high school, right?
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to go make a bike park. And at that time, my idea for a masterpiece was, you know, making a smaller local park, which ended up being like one or two trails and a pump track on 2 acres of land and a small land and money grant from the city.
Okay.
And I had a lot of awesome people helping me out with that project as like a stepping stone as a resume project for Station Mountain.
Okay.
Because I wanted to make a proper shuttle service park, seeing serious numbers, I knew to raise the investment for that, I needed to already make a park. So I actually had some legitimacy to my young age.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, was that hard to do? Like, was it hard to get approvals and get people organized and everything to build that smaller park?
Yeah. So I ended up making a pitch deck and I went to the city with it. And there are some other dads in the Lakeway area that were super supportive of the idea of the park and of me that helped me out start to finish on that project. Like three other local dads in the area that also had a similar dream in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why didn't you just stop after that? Like you did your requirement, right? I assume that was enough to get your, like your masterpiece thing done and that, but like, why do a bigger park?
Well, for me, I was like, oh, I'm done. I did it.
Yeah.
But the school is like super ambitious. I mean, Alpha is like wanting every kid to do something that's as hard as being an Olympian. Like that's their standard. Like do something as hard as being an Olympian, right?
Oh my gosh.
So I got the school's motivation, but then mainly outside of that, I just got a lot of other entrepreneurial motivation from figures in my life because I was kind of getting more well and well versed within like the startup and entrepreneurship community.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved mountain biking and I loved trail building.
Yeah.
Like I wanted, like we have so many riders in Texas to just have a few parks. I mean, not that the parks are bad or anything. It's just you go to Utah with like population 1 million and Salt Lake City area is full of trails. And then Texas is like population 30 million and we just have a few parks, right? So I saw a huge opportunity to make a proper park that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And then with all the motivation, all that compiling, in January of 2023, my junior year, is when I decided I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go raise an investment. I'm going to go make this park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, so from what I know about Texas and sort of the mountain bike scene there, like there aren't as many trails there, like you mentioned, for having such a large population, in part because there isn't a lot of public land in the state. A lot of it's privately owned.
It's private land, yeah.
And so, yeah, was that like an opportunity or a challenge? Like on the one hand, I guess there isn't a lot. You couldn't go to like, you know, your city or county and say, hey, like I want to build a huge trail because they're like, well, we don't have a lot of land.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, on the other hand, though, like you got to have a private landowner. So was that part of the thinking?
Well, the good news about private land is that things can happen really fast.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is that it costs a lot of money.
Right.
Public land, it may take like 5+ years for a project to actually start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are there already a lot of mountain bikers in Austin that you could kind of tap into for a project like this?
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of support from the whole entire Texas mountain bike community for this park.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really how I went about raising the investment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, tell us about that. How'd you raise the money and how much did you end up raising?
So I literally started by going on LinkedIn and looking up people that had both mountain biker and investor in their profile. And I made like a 10-slide Canva deck and I sent it to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was like, here's a 10-slide deck about why this is going to be a profitable bike park and the idea. If you mm-hmm. want to invest, let me know. I did that with like 450 people on LinkedIn, got 5 responses and 2 yeses.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I went on to local mountain biking Facebook groups and I was like, hey, if anyone here is a startup investor, like, let me know. I got an opportunity for you.
Yeah. Did many people take you up on that offer?
I mean, yeah, there's like 2 people that did because it got so many views and shares.
Mm-hmm.
And like people who knew a startup investor friend would send it to them. So I did like this random series of online social media networking for about 6 months
mm-hmm.
until I closed around 20 investors at 358K.
Oh, wow.
And like 85% of that was also from people that I didn't know previously, like not family friends. It was just from people that were both mountain bikers and investors.
Yeah. Wow. And so I assume each of those investors got like a stake in the business.
Yes.
How much were you able to hold on to for yourself?
So it was 4 equity investing. So the equity investors for the park have 358K at 20%.
Mm-hmm.
The land investor, like the guy who has the land, has 40% of the company. And then I have the other 40%.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So basically like the way that it works is they get a percentage of the profits through the dividends, the people who invested in the bike park. So like they expect to get their money back in a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you about that for sure. The dividends and profits, but I'm curious too, were you able to stay on budget, like to get the park open? Were there any surprises that you ran into, like trying to get it ready for business?
Yeah. Some things were way more expensive than I anticipated, but there were also some things cheaper than I anticipated. So it ended up working out.
Hmm.
I cut it pretty close though. I went from like 358K to 10K.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So like there were just random things I had to pay for throughout the build, such as buying electricity for the house. I was like, oh, there goes 10K, or
mm-hmm.
that machine broke. Oh, there goes 5K. Like just things I wasn't expecting. And the big money saver.
Where did most of the money go? I mean, out of 380, what's the most expensive part of it?
Just like paying the builders was the most expensive part, and also renting the machines and also making the shuttle trucks.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. So I assume you bought vehicles and then had to modify them.
Yes. We bought tractors. So we have tractor service, service shuttles.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And it kind of lends to the ranch vibe that I assume you got going.
Yeah. We definitely do have a ranch vibe out here. For sure.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I mean, one of my big questions is always like, are bike parks good businesses? Like, is this a business that you were able to like confidently pitch to people and say like, yeah, you're going to make your money back or you're going to make a big profit on this? Like, are they generally good businesses?
It depends. You really need the right location and circumstances. It's working in Texas. Mm-hmm. Because we have so many riders and not that many parks. But
yeah.
I bet you in a place that's kind of saturated with parks with not that many riders, mm-hmm. take, I don't know, the Southeast, for example, they have so many parks already. Like, it's already saturated. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it would work as well there building a new park, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's working in Texas with the park-to-people ratio we have.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I assume a big part of it too is like the land cost. And it sounds like you didn't actually have to like buy the land. You have sort of like a lease arrangement where, yeah, you're paying like a portion of kind of the value of the land. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. I wish I was owning the land though. If anyone's here listening to this aspiring to make a bike park, definitely get more investment and buy the land.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so not owning the land, how does that limit you? Or are you just worried that like, you know, at some point the landowner is going to say, all right, like I got to kick you out. I want to do something else with it.
That's not what I'm worried about because we have a logs lease. It's just paying mortgage is a lot cheaper mm-hmm. than a land lease. Okay. And owning land is a huge asset. And worst case scenario, you can pay back everyone by selling the land.
Mm-hmm.
When you lease the land, like you have no control over it. It's like leasing versus buying a house.
Right. Yeah. And as the value of the property increases, yeah, obviously you're not able to capture that upside if you're not the owner. And I assume too, I mean, this land, it was previously what, like ranch land, farmland?
Hunting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess there are a lot of similarities between that type of land use and mountain biking. It's a recreational thing. And yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Farmland wouldn't work because it's just not hilly enough for Texas. Right. I was trying to find like, ooh, what ranch would, you know, have the elevation and the topography.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were putting together this 10 slide pitch deck, were you able to use like other successful bike parks as an example? Like, were you able to find out their finances and like how they operate? Was anybody helpful along the way for you?
Yeah. I talked to other bike park founders about numbers and stuff on bike parks they made. Like Pete Costain with Legacy Bike Park was a really big help.
Mm.
Yeah. And then the guys over at Windrock as well were a big help.
Yeah.
And then Spider Mountain is just the only other like proper downhill service park in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So like they were a really good side by side comparison. And, you know, what Spider Mountain is doing as well is super, super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. I was looking at a map and it looks like your bike park is like 20 miles as the crow flies from Spider Mountain.
Yeah.
Is there like a benefit, you think, to being close to a more established bike park?
I think there is a benefit because when people make the trip from Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, Houston, now like they can hit two parks during their weekend,
right,
and really want to go out and ride instead of just kind of riding the same park over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I really think it's a mutually beneficial thing we have going on with Spider right now. Cause we're both at like, and we're both at a pretty, like a pretty similar level in park status.
Hmm.
Like there's not really other, like there's not another park in Texas that's running like 5 daily employees and a week by week trail crew and like a lift or a shuttle. Right. Like,
yeah, yeah.
There's just no park even close to that size in Texas, even though there's a lot of other really cool trail systems. So like
mm-hmm.
having two of like the big Texas parks, like the only two right next to each other, is definitely mutually beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like it makes it a destination.
Yeah. And Reveille Peak is a third bike park in the area. It's volunteer built and they have just these really sick jumps, pedal only, that people will also kind of link up in their, I guess, trio bike park trip for the weekend.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you looked at Spider Mountain, I mean, was part of your thinking to differentiate yourself from that as well? Like how does Station Bike Park compare to Spider Mountain in terms of the trails and the like difficulty and terrain?
Yeah. Station and Spider are two completely different parks. Like Station is full of jumps. We have a line called 75 hits with 75 jumps from top to bottom in Texas, which is wild. And like, you know, at Spider, like they're more focused on the tech. I mean, like they have some sick, like fast tech trails, fast rock trails. Mm-hmm. And Station's more about like a ton of jumps and rollers and longer laps top to bottom.
Mm. Yeah.
Like it's not like one is better than the other. It's just kind of two different parks.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So how do most bike parks, and I guess specifically Station Bike Park, make money? Is it ticket sales or like equipment rentals, repairs, sales? I mean, it seems like you have a lot of revenue streams, but is one like much bigger than the other ones?
Yeah. So when I made the projections, I thought that there was going to be money from the ticket sales and then also making money from like the bike shop, the food truck, selling merch, so on and so on. But I was wrong. Like I'd say like 97% of our revenue is just from ticket sales.
Okay. Wow.
Like almost all of it. I mean, we'll make some money like selling like drinks or candy or working on people's bikes, but it is all from ticket sales.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it sounds like do you have rental bikes there for people to check out?
Yes, we do. Like we even have a rental fleet of like 15 bikes, like a fully operational bike shop and just, I don't know.
Yes.
I guess bikers want to work on their own bikes and bring their own.
Right. Yeah. I mean, most people end up bringing their own bikes. Are they bringing like we've never downhill rented. Bikes or enduro or what kind of bikes?
Yeah. Well, for here it's more trail bikes. Like I'd like 150 travel is kind of best for Station with all the rollers and jumps.
Hmm. Okay.
Even though it's not really pedally, it's just, you know, a roller and jump based park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense that's a pretty accessible bike. A lot of people are going to already own a bike like that.
Exactly. And like people who want to go to Station are people who've like already tried mountain biking and have their own bikes. Mm-hmm. So like the most bikes we've ever rented for the day here is like three.
Wow.
Even though we have 13 bikes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe that's a new market. I mean, it sounds like you were kind of introduced to the sport by, you know, you're on vacation or, you know, you just decided to try biking, downhill biking. And yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, like so far the marketing has just kind of been word of mouth and the more, I don't know what the word is, involved mountain bike community that really knows and loves Texas mountain biking.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really ventured out into the other spaces of marketing, like, you know, the family friendly stuff for the people who haven't really biked ever.
Right. Yeah. So how long have you been operational with the bike park?
5 weeks, 6 weeks now. Yeah.
5 weeks. Wow. Yeah. I was going to ask you like, what is the season, I guess, for that? Do you have any idea? I mean, is like summer too hot? And so you're more of like a shoulder season thing or are you open year round?
Yeah. October through May is kind of all the same. I mean, I guess the coldest month is the best, like February, but not really much difference.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I am not looking forward to June through September.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe shut the park down and go on vacation. Go back to Angel Fire.
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of Texan riders are going to do. We're still going to be fully open though. I mean, we're definitely going to make the best out of it through like misted and shaded shuttles. And like a completely shaded bottom. So the only time you're actually having a hot experience is on your way down. Like, I think we're going to make it pretty good.
Yeah. Awesome. Sounds like a plan. Was insurance an issue for you? It seems like this is a pretty novel thing. I mean, anywhere in the country, but especially in Texas. Did you have a hard time getting that? And was it expensive?
For every park, insurance is always an issue, but I think we have like the best insurance situation out of any park in the whole world because we are in one of the most unrestricted properties and one of the most unrestricted counties and one of the most unrestricted states.
Okay.
So insurance is like as cheap as it gets.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Does that make like waivers a lot easier too? Or like,
I mean, waivers are, even if you have complicated insurance, waivers is not the hard part of it. Like waivers, you kind of just copy another bike park's waiver and change a few words and you're good to go.
Right.
It's more about like, how do you make sure that if your park gets sued, it's not done?
Right. Right. Well, so yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the amount that you had to spend to get the park up and running was not a small amount. And yet I wonder, did you look at the economics of a fixed lift system? It seems like we don't see that at a lot of parks, and I'm sure it's crazy expensive. Do you have any idea how expensive that is? Ooh, wow. Yeah, wow. Wow. That's crazy. And so, and yeah, what that cost for what is like the vertical that you have at the park?
The vertical is only 370 feet. The point,
okay.
I mean, the reason why that lift would be expensive is because it's about 4,200 feet long.
Oh, right. So you need a lot of towers.
Yeah. It's just like pretty mellow property. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's funny because like we still have the most vert in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Spider's lift, I have no idea how much that was, but
yeah,
like their property is only about 1,700 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see.
I bet a lift there would be a bit cheaper.
Yeah, it sounds like it's steeper, but
yeah,
yeah, more natural trails.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been open for 4 or 5 weeks now. What's your favorite part of owning a bike park?
Oh, when I see people ride and having fun. When I see people ride and smiling, that's like what I'm doing this for. I'm doing this for the Texas mountain bike community.
Mm.
Like I want riders in Texas to like have fun and get on bikes. So I love to see when they enjoy it.
Yeah. Do you get to ride much yourself?
Oh, all the time. Like when I'm quote unquote on the clock, I'm just riding with people, getting laps all day.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. It's fun. It's super fun.
Yeah. What surprised you though? Like, are there any things that you don't like or things you didn't realize that you would need to do as a bike park owner?
Yeah. Managing employees is hard. Well, right now it's actually kind of nice. We're doing good right now, but back during the build process,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like, especially managing employees as a high schooler,
right?
Earning authority, it just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, did you hire some of your friends or are these like people who are older than you and kind of that age difference makes it tough?
People who are older, people that I didn't know previously, just like trail builders from around the nation. And then 5 local guys too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say I was friends only with like one dude on the whole job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what are your plans for the bike park and for yourself in the future?
For the bike park and myself?
Yeah.
Well, for the bike park, I just want to keep on improving, keep on editing it, and just gradually make it better and better, as good as it can be, because this is truly a for riders, by riders park.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself in the future, I want to make the world's best bike park, like something like the next Whistler. That's what I really, really want to do.
Mm.
And just as Rough Hollow Bike Park, the old one was a stepping stone or a resume project for this.
Mm-hmm.
I see Station as a resume project for the next bike park as well. But that's later. Yeah. I'm still totally only thinking about Station right now and having fun with Station. But yeah, that is the end goal.
Yeah, cool. Do you think you can do it in Texas?
No way. Like this is something that needs like a ski town base area and 3,000 feet of vert and like tens of millions of dollars. Like it's going to require a ski resort as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's certainly ambitious and, you know, I don't doubt you at all. Like seeing your past 2 successes, which came very quickly at such a young age. Yeah. You got plenty of time to make it happen. So
yeah,
wish you the best of luck.
I'm very excited as well.
Well, you can find out more and I assume, buy lift tickets online at stationmountain.com. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. That's all we've got this week. We'll talk to you again next week.